चारधाम आदि भगवान की, श्री पंचतत्व की, श्री वृंदावन धाम की, श्री मायापुर धाम की, नेताई गौर प्रेमानंदे, जय जय श्री राधे श्याम, जय जय श्री राधे श्याम, जय जय श्री राधे श्याम। टेक वन मिनट। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांतम राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू इन मैनचेस्टर टेंपल फॉर दिस इवनिंग क्लास। हरे कृष्ण। So since time immemorial, the living entities are suffering in this material world, taking birth after birth after birth, and suffering the miseries caused by one's own self, miseries caused by the body and mind, miseries caused by other living entities, and also the miseries caused by the nature. And time immemorial, again and again, again and again, the saintly personalities appear to deliver the living entities in the repeated cycles of birth and death. And everybody is ultimately trying to direct the attention of the living entities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is explained that irrespective of our hard labors, it is very difficult to attract the attention of Sri Krishna. So pure devotional service, as explained by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion, it is said that pure devotional service is only one thing that attracts the attention of Krishna. But it is also said in the same description that pure devotional service is very, very rare. Sudurlabha. Sri Krishna Akarshani, but Sudurlabha. Very difficult to attain. It is the pure devotional service is Kleshagni. In 1 second, when one comes to the platform of pure devotional service, all the klesha, all the sufferings, varieties of sufferings that I explained earlier, all the sufferings are mitigated instantly. And moksha laguta krita, moment pure devotional service is performed, when the attainment of moksha appears to be insignificant. Laguta krita, it makes moksha very laghu, that means very insignificant. Sandrananda visheshatma, it makes the living entity very joyful, completely immersed in joy. And the most of all, it attracts the attention of Krishna. But at the same time, even though all this is true, pure devotional service is very rare and very difficult to attain. That is a fact. So the personalities of this world who are on the path of devotional service are struggling and struggling and struggling to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. So there was a peacock, and the peacock wanted to call Krishna to attract his attention. So he went to Nandagaon, because he knew Krishna is in Nandagaon. And he called Krishna by various names. Hey Gopal, hey Govinda, please call. Please call.
Hey Govinda,
hey Govinda.
Hey Govinda, hey Govinda.
Hey Nanda Nandana.
Hey Nanda Nandana.
Hey Yashoda Nandana.
Hey Yashoda Nandana.
So many names he called. But sometimes, you know, our mobile, no connection. No response. So he tried and tried and tried, but there was no response. So he felt very upset. He cried. And then he went to Barsana. Someone told him that Radharani will show you the way. So he called Radharani. Hey Prishabhanu Nandini, hey Radhe, hey Karuna Mai, immediately Radharani came to attend to this sincere soul in the form of peacock. And she asked, what is the reason behind it? Why are you crying? Why are you so upset? So I went to Nandagaon. And I called Krishna and there was no response. I want to attract his attention. He said, no problem. She said, please go back to Nandagaon and this time do not call Nanda Nandana, Gopal and Govind. Just go and call Radhe, Rishabhanu Nandini, the way you called here. And you will attain your desired goal. So he went. The blessings of Radharani, he went back. And he said, Radhe!
Radhe!
Hey Vrishabhanu Nandini!
Hey
Karunamayi!
Hey Karunamayi!
We chanted three names. But before he finished one name, Krishna came running from his palace. Krishna came running from his palace. Immediately ran. Who is calling my beloved Radharani? Who is that person? And saw the peacock calling with great love and devotion. So he picked up the peacock and put him in his lap. Caressed him with great affection, love and appreciation. You can imagine the lotus like fingers of Krishna emanating dazzling divine light or moving on the body of peacock, shivering, trembling, shedding tears from his eyes. His feathers were also trembling, and finally the feathers all dropped off there. They fell down from his body in ecstasy. Like the hair standing on end, the feathers stood up and fell down. They left the body of the peacock. And then Krishna lifted one peacock feather and put on his crown. That's how Krishna started wearing peacock feather. More mukut. So what is the secret? The most difficult personality to be attained, who is very rarely to be attained, can be easily attracted if one chants the name of Radharani. That is the formula. When we chant Radha, when we say Ra, all the sufferings of unlimited births and lives that we have in material world, they are instantly mitigated. Any suffering cannot stand between in front of us when Radharani's name is chanted. It is also said that the repeated cycles of birth and death get destroyed when her name is chanted. When we say Ra of her name. And also the Garbhavas. Garbhavas means that we have to go into the womb of another mother by the power of our karma and reactions. That Garbhavas is nullified. These are all the benefits of chanting Ra. And when we say Dha, it is said that Krishna becomes completely enamored and mesmerized and runs behind the person who is chanting the name of Radha. Dhayati sa samramaha. So samram means what? Confusion. Bewilderment. Mesmerizing situation. So in that situation, Krishna gets enamored and runs behind the person who is chanting the name of Radharani. So, he says that when somebody, Krishna himself says in Adi Purana, he says that when somebody chants Ra, I release him from all sufferings. And when he says Dha, I bestow upon him the choicest of ultimate loving devotion unto me. Because she is very dear to me. So, another greatness of Radharani is that the whole sadhakas, all the universe, wherever people are worshipping Krishna, they are trying to attain the dust of lotus feet of Krishna. All over the world. In Vrindavan also everybody is trying to attain the lotus feet, the dust of Sri Krishna. But he himself goes to Barsana to take the dust of Radharani's lotus feet. Not only goes to take dust of lotus feet of Radharani, he rolls in the dust of Radharani. He pleads over there for her mercy. He pleads for her blessings. Pleads for her favorable glances. Sheds tears. That is her glory. So everybody has his sadhya. Sadhya means what do we attain by sadhana? Is sadhya. That is one to be achieved. So everybody's goal of sadhana is to attain Sri Krishna and loving devotion to his lotus feet. But Krishna also is a sadhaka. He also performs sadhana. I will chant one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam to explain to you what kind of sadhana Krishna performs. Kalindi Tatakunja Mandira Gato Yogindra Vandyata. This is from Radha Sudhanidhi. Padat Jyotir Dhyana Paraha Sada Japatiyam Premashru Purno Harihi Kenapi Adbutam Ullasatra Tirasa Nandena Sammohita Saradheti Sadasvaratime Vidyapara Dvayakshara. The meaning of this verse is, seated in Vrindavan, the dearmost grove of Krishna, in the grove of fresh creepers, meditating on the effulgence of the lotus feet of Sri Radha, like the yogis, shedding tears of love from his eyes, Sada Japatiyam Premashru Purnoho Harihi. Sri Krishna chants the name of Radha, Dvayakshari, which has two syllables, and relishes the essence of the ocean of love of Sri Radha. So this is Krishna's sadhana. When Krishna was performing Rasila with Radharani and Gopis, and they became a little proud. Everybody knows that story, that Krishna expanded himself into unlimited forms of gopis, in the unlimited forms in front of gopis. Each gopi had one Krishna in front of them. And the dance was so intense and so lovable and so relishable and so much absorbing that everybody was totally lost. They never saw everything else but Krishna in the dance. So they thought, he's only with me. He has left everybody. Millions of gopis, even Radha he has left. and he is dancing with me. Radha is thinking, so many millions of gopis who love him more than me. He has left all of them, he is dancing with me. So everybody thought that I am so special that Krishna has left everybody for me. And this thought came up in everybody's mind. And you know, all of us should understand that pride, he doesn't like. This one thing, he doesn't like at all. This pride is separating us from Krishna millions and millions of miles away. It takes us away from Krishna. So we may be performing bhakti and we may be performing so much of devotional service and you may think, I am so special that I am doing this service. I am so expert in cooking, I am so expert in worshipping deities. I dress deities when they are they look very beautiful, everybody appreciates when I dress them. Or I build temples, I distribute books, I preach, I have congregation, I have counselees, I have disciples. But as long as we think we are doing it and we feel proud for it, Krishna goes away from us. So such great services that we do, if we do not do those services in humble attitude, in grateful attitude, that we don't qualify for this service, but it is given to us by the mercy of the Lord. Such an opportunity and privilege and honor to have such services, although we are not qualified. But service to Krishna is a privilege of great devotees. And I am not a great devotee, but still it is offered to me. And I feel grateful and I tolerate all the inconveniences of these services, whichever I have to go through, and do that service in spite of all the difficulties. That is the right mood and that attracts Krishna. But if somebody feels that I am so privileged, I am so honored, I am so great, I am so special, then we lose Krishna. So although gopis were with Krishna, dancing in Ras Leela, the highest of experiences one can imagine in bhakti is to be with Krishna in Ras Leela. It is supposed to be the topmost expression of Krishna's reciprocation to our devotion. And gopis were in that. And you may not know, or you may have read, that gopis had done such tapasya in the previous lives. There were hundreds of types of gopis. Hundreds of types of gopis. Some of them were attracted to Matsya Avatar in the ocean, Samudra Kanyas. They wanted to have that relationship with Matsya Avatar. Matsya Avatar told them, I will come as Krishna and enjoy with you. Then Kurma Avatar, then Varaha Avatar. Every avatar, so many wonderful devotees were attracted to Krishna in conjugal love. When Ram went to marry Sita Devi, all Mithila Vasinis were attracted to him and proposed to him that we will love you. He said, not now, I am Ekapatni Vrata. I cannot marry you or enjoy this rasa with you. Then he married her and he came back to Ayodhya and there were Ayodhya Vasinis. He looked at Ram's beauty, not attracted to him in pure loving sentiment. They proposed to him. He said, not this time, next time. The Vedas personified, the Shrutis, the very personified Vedas, they became ladies, devotees of the Lord. They approached Krishna that in our knowledge, you cannot be found. Because you know, Vedas are very complicated. Yes, am I? Krishna says in Gita that I am to be known from Vedas. Vedaischa sarvai ahameva vedyo. Vedanta vid veda pradeva chaham. I am to be known, I am to be understood, I am the goal of Vedas, I am the Vedas myself. But still, it is very difficult to realize Krishna by reading Vedas. So the Shrutis, the personified Vedas, they felt that, what is our fate? We are trying to glorify you, but we are not able to give people Krishna, neither we can attain Krishna, so what is our fate? So Krishna showed them Golok Vrindavan. Listen to this very carefully. Listen to this. Krishna showed them Golok Vrindavan and the Vedas, the personified Veda ladies, they saw the beautiful relationship of all the gopis with Krishna in Golok Vrindavan. And they were very attracted. This is what is our fate? Will we be delivered like this? Please award us such kind of relationships. So Krishna said that when I will come as Krishna, you appear as gopis in Nandagam, in the Gopala's house, in the cowherd man's house. So they all appeared in the village of Nandagam in various cowherd men's house as daughters. And they would they took birth and they grew up, and they daily would go to Nanda Baba's house and would assist Yashoda Mai in serving Krishna. And by serving Krishna, they got more attraction. They cultivated more and more attraction and love for Krishna. So then they approached Jamuna Devi, how to develop affection for Krishna. So Jamuna Devi taught them Katyayani Vrata. You must have heard Katyayani Vrata.
Yeah.
At the end of Kartik, 30 days the gopis worship Katyayani Devi at the bank of Jamuna, making the deity of sand at the bank of Jamuna. So, and on the guidance and mercy of Yamuna Devi, they performed Katyayani Vrata. At the end of Katyayani Vrata, Krishna came to give darshan to them and stole their clothes, accepting them as their wives. And he blessed them that 5 days from now, I will perform special Raslila for you. And he allowed them to enter Raslila. And there are such variety of different gopis from different history, different lifestyles. They were there in Raslila. So it is not that, you know, just by fluke they were there. Everybody had to perform tapasya and devotional service for lifetimes together. One of the groups of gopis were Rishichari gopis. What is Rishichari gopi? When Lord Ramchandra was exiled in the forest by Dasharath and Kaikeyi predominantly. So Lord Ramchandra stayed in Chitrakoot for about 13 years. And the 14th year, he came to Dandakaranya, that is Nasik today. Because the demigod said that 12 years, 13 years have passed, nothing has happened. The whole thing we have done, whole conspiracy we had instigated or spoiled the mind of Mantara, that you get out of the kingdom and kill the demons. Ravana is still living very happily. So 13 years have passed after we have conspired and we have managed to get him out of the palace and come in the forest, and he killed Taraka, Subahu and so many other demons, but nothing great happened because Ravana is still not touched. So then they moved to Dandakaranya. And we then went to Dandakaranya looking at the beautiful Kandarpa Kamaniya Koti Vishesha Shoham, the beauty of dazzling millions of Kamadevas. The Rishi is performing tapasya in Dandakaranya, got attracted to Krishna or Lord Ramchandra. And they said that although we are in man's body, our heart is like a woman and we feel love as a gopi to you. We want to become your wives and enjoy with you, conjugal relationships, serve you in that mood. Lord Ramchandra said that this is not a lifetime in which I can do this. I have become as Krishna and you will become gopis. So they were the Rishichari gopis. And you can imagine all these varieties of gopis were with Krishna dancing in that night. And what had happened just before that, he played flute. Fifth note. Mesmerized everybody. And they all got mad and they left everything at home, all their household duties and responsibilities, everything they left. Somebody left their baby, somebody left their mother-in-law, somebody left the husband, somebody left the milk boiling on the stove, somebody left the cows being milked there only halfway. And they ran in the middle of the forest. They were stopped by their husband. Some of them were imprisoned by their husband. Some of them, being imprisoned, left their bodies there only and went in spiritual form to meet Krishna. How much effort, how much struggle, how much desire to be with Krishna. Husband locked them and they died. I mean, they left their bodies and went in the form of spirit soul to meet Krishna. And then, in the middle of the night, after doing all these things, paying so much of price, they reached to Krishna in the forest, and Krishna says, why you have come? Why have you come? Don't you understand the culture? You're supposed to be good wives, good mothers, good daughter-in-laws, good XYZ. How can you come like this? This is not our culture. So they said that all these, what you are explaining, our variety of roles, are like layers of clothes on the body, on the soul in one sense. These are all varieties of designations, the clothes of designations, layers of designations on the soul. And to attain you, we have dropped all those clothes far away, my Lord. far away we have dropped all those clothes. That means all these resignations we have renounced long back before coming to you. And now you are telling us to go and wear it again. We have given it up and you are reminding us of that. You are a wife, you are a husband, you are a daughter, you are a daughter-in-law and you are XYZ. Huh? So, why are you telling us to wear this again? So thus he tested them. But the gopis exhibited success in the examination put up by Krishna in front of them. Krishna was testing their surrender actually. And gopis actually did not budge to any of Krishna's temptations. All kinds of niti, family relationship, culture, everything was brought in front of gopis by Krishna. And then they successfully passed the test by Krishna. And then Krishna began the divine dance of rasa in the middle of the night on the full moon night of Sharada month, Sharada Purnima. Why I told all this to you? Imagine the struggle, the efforts, the sacrifice the gopis had undergone to meet with Krishna and what prompted Krishna to exhibit that divine pleasure of Rasa Lila. And that already was going on. He was already into Rasa Lila with them. He was already expanded. He was already with them. He was totally absorbing them. He was absorbed with them. And in the middle of that, what happens is they become proud. So what is the meaning of this thing? Even if you are in the middle of spiritual ecstasy, you can become proud because of the ecstasy itself. So one has to guard oneself from this false ego. The pleasure that you receive, will make you proud. You will think that, see how much pleasure I am receiving. I am so great. So they thought, see how special I am. Krishna is with me only. And what Krishna did? Instantly he disappeared from the eyes of everybody. Instantly he disappeared from the vision of everybody. And everybody started discussing. They felt so morose and they started discussing, you know, he was with me. You know, he was with me. He was with me. Everybody said the same thing. And then they came to the reality understanding that, oh, he was with everybody. He was not only with me. How foolish I am. How foolish we are. We lost the association of Krishna. And Krishna even left Radharani also. Everybody was proud. And he went straight to the bank of Jamuna. And sat for meditation. Because even he was doing very good thing for gopis. Because he didn't want his devotees to become proud. So when he goes away from his gopis, it doesn't mean he hates them or doesn't like them. He simply wants them to get purified. And to appreciate in a pure way his mercy. But at the same time, he loves them so much that he couldn't bear separation from them. Especially Radharani. So he went and sat under a tree of Imli, tamarind tree, in the bank of Jamuna. And he closed his eyes. And what he did? Kalindi tata kunja mandiragato yogindra vandyata. The way the yogis meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was meditating on the lotus feet of Radharani. Pada jyotir, on the effulgence of the lotus feet of Radharani. Dhyana paraha. Sada japati. What he was doing? He was meditating on the effulgence coming from the lotus feet of Radharani and by mouth he was uttering the great love and devotion with tears in eyes. Pada jyotir dhyana paraha sada japatiya prem ashru purno hari. Eyes filled with love and devotion for Radharani. He was chanting her name. And his mind was getting bewildered. And it seemed that when he was doing his sadhana like this, he went into ecstasy. The name of Radharani and the thought of Radharani and the meditation and the affection for Radharani so powerful that he went into total ecstasy. He himself went beyond his so-called existence in the material world. And what happened? His bluish body, which is like water-filled cloud about to rain, that is Ghanashyam. That beautiful effulgent blue body of Krishna became golden color because of thoughts of Radharani. He completely became golden yellow effulgent and he was lost in the thoughts of Radharani. That is the effect of Krishna of Radharani's meditation. And very soon the gopis were repenting that how foolish we are. We lost a great opportunity. We became proud. But now what? We have lost him. So they started asking creepers, trees, flowers, river Jamuna, banks of Jamuna. Everybody they were asking, have you seen our beautiful Krishna? Where he has gone? We have lost him. Can you tell us where he has gone? So they sang the song of Venu Geet. The song Gopi Geet. The song when he sang many songs of separation. How foolish we are. And you are so great. We want you. Where are you? And they came across this tree. And they saw a very unusual personality. Was looking like Krishna. Golden yellow in color. Bewildered. Look at this personality. And looks to be in ecstasy, totally absorbed, closed eyes. He has peacock feather, he has everything, he has yellow dhoti. He has Vaijanti Mala, he has all the beautiful decorations of Krishna, but he is not Sham Varna, he is Gauru Varna. But they were discussing, who is he? We have seen him, but he doesn't look like Krishna, but he, who is he? Who is he? They were discussing, then they decided that we will go close to him and observe very closely, who is he? And they went close to him, and Radharani touched him. As soon as Radharani touched him, he came back to his external consciousness. And slowly, in front of the eyes of everybody, the golden yellow color turned and transformed into blue color. And Krishna opened his eyes. He told Radharani that. Radharani asked him, what is this secret? You can't understand this leela of yours. What is the meaning behind it? He said, when I left all of you, O Radha, when I left you, I came here and I thought about you. I remembered you. I meditated on your lotus feet, I chanted your holy name of yours, Radha, and this is what happened to me. And I experienced unlimited ecstasy, which I have never experienced, although I am the source of all the happiness and bliss. But this particular experience that I received, I never received in my life before. Because I became you. When I became you, I experienced something else that which I generally doesn't experience. So I decide now, I declare now, that I will come as you, carrying your sentiment, and I will distribute this love that you have for me to everybody in the world. So this is unexplainable, inconceivable, so much joyful. So he came as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. So Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything that exists, he is enamored, completely captivated by the experience that he received by meditating on Radharani. And then he thought, as he was most merciful, Karuna Nidhi, Karuna Sagar, he thought, this particular experience which I received, I must distribute to everybody in the world. He took a separate incarnation. You can imagine the potency of this experience. How great the experience must be that the Supreme Personality of Godhead decided to specially design a separate incarnation, that to a unique incarnation in which he is not going to be Supreme Personality of Godhead, at least acting as Supreme Lord. He will say, I will come as a devotee, I will come as you, taking your mood, I will come and get mad in ecstasy, I will dance chanting your holy name. Internally, I will experience your mood. Externally, I will distribute the holy name to everybody. This is the potency of Radharani. And this is explained to be in Bhagavatam as Krishna Sadhana. Krishna also has Sadhya, to be attained. That is lotus feet of Radharani. And Krishna also has Sadhana, that is chant the name of Radharani. This is the power of Radharani. So, this makes Krishna totally subservient. And how Krishna does that? He becomes a sakhi in Barsana. He doesn't go to Barsana as a man. Of course he goes to perform Leela. But most of the times he goes as Shama Sakhi. Because the power of Radharani's love and sentiment is so great and so deep that Krishna also becomes subservient to that. And he becomes one of the gopis following her. So Radharani's name is so powerful, it is said that Prabodhananda Saraswati, one of the most fanatic devotees of Vrindavan Dham, he said that if you take name of Radharani, all the other forms of worships, sadhana, upasana, all the procedures that you follow, everything becomes utterly garbage in front of one name of Radharani. All that you think you are doing, sadhana and the format and the procedure, the great sacrifices and austerity you perform, everything becomes like garbage in front of one name of Radharani when you chant. That is why we chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram,
Hare Hare.
Which means the name of Radharani is chanted first and then we chant Krishna's name. Hara is the internal potency of Krishna. It connects us with Krishna. And Hara is that energy of Krishna which is personified as Radha, and when called upon, it attracts the attention of Krishna, and with the attracted attention of Krishna, we chant the name of Krishna. So he hears the name. It's a trick. And the trick has been given by Krishna only to us. He only came down. Gaulokera Prema Dhana Hari Nama Sankirtan. He himself has formed this mantra, and he has himself come down to distribute this mantra to everybody. That is his mercy only. He has the greatest secret, he has only opened to ourselves, to us. And that secret is Hare Krishna Mahamantra, in which Hare is first. We never chant Narayan Lakshmi or Ram Sita. What do we say? Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, Radhe Shyam, Radha Krishna. It's a philosophy behind it, it's not sentiment. The philosophy is that the energy of the Lord that has potency to connect with the Lord, her name has to be chanted first. Then the Supreme Lord will be obliged to attend to your calling him. Otherwise he has no business to attend to your calling. Because there are many people calling him. He has no time to listen to them. But one who calls through this channel, he is obliged. It's like you have to get some work done with the Prime Minister of the country. He has so many procedures and so many things. Suppose you get the contact of his wife somehow. And the wife is serving him lunch, and that time she says that this particular person, you should give him appointment and do his work. So immediately he will be obliged. Next day he will do it immediately. Maybe while eating only you will call up and tell, next day call him, I want to meet him. So that channel is unconquerable channel. The person is conquered by the channel. It's like that. So we, in our short lifespan of Kali Yuga, we have a little time, and so much time goes into attractions of the material world, so much time goes into doing our duty, so much time goes into our bewilderment, and hardly any time is remaining. How much time we are doing sadhana, and most of the time we are not in the sadhana, we are somewhere else. Sadhana is happening and we are somewhere else, and little time is there. Sometimes we attend to the holy name when we are in most difficulty. So you can imagine the power of our potency. Our sadhana is hardly anything. It will not lead us anywhere, just because Guruji has told us we are doing it, attempting it. But in effect, our sadhana, the way we are doing it, it will not take us anywhere, because there is no potency in that. So the shortcut is given. The secret is revealed to you. That you approach Krishna to the internal potency of Krishna, which is Radharani. When one develops love for Radha Naam, all these so-called goals of human life become insignificant. Even you don't desire to have liberation also. You don't desire to get free from cycles of birth and death also. You don't desire to even get to free from the miseries also. It is so ecstatic and so transcendental that all so-called worldly things and worldly goals that we have and transcendental goals we have, they become insignificant. So, this Radharani, it is her mercy that all the mellows of loving devotion to Krishna are broadcasted, are produced and broadcasted. It says that when Radharani walks, she wears ankle bells, and the ankle bells make beautiful sound when she walks. And from that sound, all that is knowledge, all that is Vedas appear and produced. All the Vedas mean knowledge basically. All the Vedas are produced from the divine sound of the ankle bells of Radharani. All the mellows of devotion that we have, there are five basic mellows of devotion. Shantaras, Sakhyaras, Dasyaras, Vatsalyaras and Madhuryaras. There are 13, out of that 5 are prominent, and 5 are prominently exhibited and experienced by devotees. All the rasas, including these main 5, all the rasas are produced by Radharani herself. She is the originator of rasa, she is the creator of rasa. The rasa vikas means development of all rasa, also takes place by because of her mercy. They take birth because of her mercy, they develop because of her mercy, and everything from her lotus feet, it comes out from Barsana only. And all the other areas of Vrindavan Dham receive the developed rasa from Barsana only. So all the other forests of Vrindavan are filled with this rasa. But the source is Barsana. And she is rasa adhishtatri. That means she is the queen of all the rasa. Owner of the rasa. Adhishtatri means the boss, you know, the owner. And she is Krishna Hridaya Sanjeevani. What is Sanjeevani? Life-giving herb. Krishna's heart sustains only because of the love of Radharani. His sustenance is only Radharani. Her name, her personality, her existence, her relation to him is the source of Krishna's heart to survive. In one scripture, forgot the name of the scripture, I will tell you in 1 second. It is explained that in Devi Bhagavat, is one beautiful Bhagavat, one big book is there. In that it is explained that she is Param Adi Shakti and she is the mother of Mahavishnu. And who is Mahavishnu? Mahavishnu is the first personality of material creation. First Purusha. Right? Before him, there is Narayan. But all the personalities from Narayan onwards, upwards, till Krishna, are all in the spiritual world. Because Narayan is created by Sankarshan. The Sankarshan number 2. Then Sankarshan number 2 is made by Sankarshan number 1. And Sankarshan number 1 is part of Chaturvyuha. Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna and Vasudeva. Is that right? And then we go to Balram, who is the creator of all this Chaturvyuha. And Balram is the first avatar of Krishna. But all these personalities are in the spiritual world. But then this Narayan, personality of Narayan, creates Mahavishnu. And this Mahavishnu is the first Purusha of the material world. And then he is lying in Yoga Nidra. And he breathes. And he sweats. From his sweat, Karana Udaka is produced, the divine waters of his sweat, Sveda, and that is Karana Sagara. He lays in that, he breathes. He breathes out and all the universes are created. And one of those, in every of those universes, he expands as Garbha Udaka Sai Vishnu. And he is also lying like a egg, you know, there is a water, half water, and he is lying on the ocean, Garbha Udaka Sagara. And from his navel, Brahma takes birth. Lakshmi is serving his lotus feet. And then each universe is like this. And then Brahma then creates the life, various species, and the creation, everything in that particular universe. And whatever living entities Brahma creates, in those living entities, this Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu enters as Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu. That is Paramatma. And that's how this Mahavishnu is in the hearts of everybody. That's how Krishna is in the hearts of everybody. Because Mahavishnu is the expansion of, multiple expansion of Krishna only. So this great personality Mahavishnu, his one breath lasts for 311 trillions of years. I never understood how much that must be. How many zeros are there on that? It's a long, long period. That's supposed to be life of Brahma. Which is one breath of, not only one breath, one exhaling time of Mahavishnu. You can see how great Mahavishnu must be. And that great Mahavishnu Prabhu, Mahavishnu, Lord Mahavishnu, he is created by Radharani. She is the mother of Mahavishnu. This is given in Devi Bhagavat. So, we can understand that Radharani is a very special personality, which makes Krishna also subordinate. And Krishna goes to Barsana and cries for her, rolls in the dust for her mercy. Gopis say that, how to control Krishna? Krishna is very chanchala. And we see that Radharani always subdues Krishna. He is always subordinate to Radharani, always controlled by her. So they went to ask her one day, how is it that you control Krishna? What is the secret? She told many things. One of them things she told was all the Ekadashi Vratas. All 26 Ekadashis in detail by name and by detailed description, each of them she described to Radharani, to all the gopis. That is given in Garga Sangita. And she said, because I perform Ekadashi Vrata, I control Krishna. That is why devotees perform Ekadashi Vrata. Not to control Krishna, to win his, attract his attention. Devotees don't do anything to control Krishna. But they were, gopis were bewildered. What is it that Radharani has that she is always having Krishna with him, as her own property? And then she didn't say that. But what they did was they took the dust of lotus feet of Radharani and applied confidentially on the head of Krishna. And Krishna became subservient to that gopi also. That is the power of the lotus feet of Radharani, dust from lotus feet of Radharani, where Krishna rules. You can imagine Barsana is a very special place where Krishna goes and becomes subservient. Radharani walks on the whole land of Barsana. And Krishna always longs for attaining the lotus feet of Radharani. So, today we will discuss about few stories about Radharani's unlimited mercy. There are few stories. There are unlimited stories, of course, but there are few stories which tell us how merciful Radharani is. Although Krishna is very difficult to attain, Radharani's attention can be very easily attracted. Anyone who sincerely attempts to serve Krishna and does not have any ulterior motivation, that is the most important thing. We may have great devotion, but we also may be motivated in the mind. We may have something in the mind. And those who are simple hearted, and Prabhupada explained, simple hearted means no duplicity should be there in the heart. Heart should be transparent, clean. Whatever is in front, that is what is inside. What is inside is in front. So this transparent nature of the heart with no ulterior motivation. If somebody has, immediately Radharani recommends that person's name to Krishna. So she is very, in Hindi we say holy, that means she is very innocent. She gets very easily pleased. If somebody is very sincere, like the peacock was very sincere. He went and very sincerely called in Krishna. So she told a secret to him and immediately attained Krishna. Right? So like that, Radharani is very, very simple-hearted, very, very innocent. So if you pray to her, immediately she becomes pleased. And her mercy is so powerful that there was a chapel at the area of Radhakund. And the children were playing with that chapel. She chapel. We call Bhediya into Hindi. So she was being harassed by some boys, coward boys. And they were like chasing her away, beating her up. She was running for life. And she was running. And finally, she went into a hole in the ground. So what these boys did, they put lots of leaves and some wood pieces of the trees and put fire on top so that she will burn herself and die. And while she was undergoing this kind of experience, Sri Jagal was calling loudly, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And Radharani was walking a little bit away. It's about 1.5 kilometers from there, maybe 1 mile away from there. She was walking with her friends at the banks of Radhakund, her most dear pond. And she heard these cries. She told Lalita, who is crying? She said, some boys are troubling that jackal, She said, go immediately, go and get her. So Lalita Devi with her confidential friends ran there, chased the boys away, took away all the fire from the mouth of the hole and released that jackal. And she picked up jackal and brought to Radharani. Radharani touched her lotus feet to her and said, take her into our entourage. Instantly that jackal entered into the confidential company of Radharani with all the sakis. Not by her qualification, but by the mercy of Radharani. What was her qualification? She was helplessly calling out for the mercy of Radharani. with no shelter around. She was simply calling her name. Great agony, but helplessness was the most prominent feature, and sincerity in the call. So it attracted her attention when even she was far, and she got her. One time Radharani was walking at the banks of Radhakund. She was very eagerly walking fast to go and meet Krishna. But something stuck her at the feet. Something like, let's say, dashed her or something hindered her. So she saw behind and asked Lalita, "What is that?" So Lalita said, "It's a she pig which died yesterday." Radharani looked at her and told Lalita, "Take that she pig in her entourage." And instantly that she pig was allowed to enter the private confidential company of Radharani in the form of a gopi. So it is said that Radhakund is such an area, another counterpart of Barsana is Radhakund, most powerful area. It is said that it's like you carry your pot of receiving mercy ready with you everywhere in Radhakund. You don't know when it will appear to you. It's like when the tap will open for you and fill your pot. Nobody knows. Because that is the place where any moment one will receive mercy of Radharani. It's an intense place. He is most merciful over there. Anyone who goes there, anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord, anyone who takes bath in Radhakund. Krishna himself has blessed that whoever takes bath in this water, which is not different from Radharani herself. One is that the waters of Radhakund is not different from Radharani. Second is that waters are liquid prema of Radharani. The liquid manifestation of the love for Krishna that Radharani has. Anyone who bathes in that with sincere devotion, pure heart, will attain the love that Radha has for Krishna. For Krishna. That is the benediction Krishna gave. And he said that pond will be as dear as Radha to me. That water will be as dear as I love Radha. And whoever takes bath will become as dear as Radha to me. Will attain the love that Radha has for me. So many statements look like similar statements, but they are different statements. Krishna is blessed like that. So, another place is Seva Punj, where Radharani gets tired. And then Krishna massages her feet. Charana jaki dabe girdhari. Supreme Lord massages her feet, feeds water to her, serves her whole night. That is the glory of Radharani. At the same time, there was a bhangi, there was a person who was sweep the steps of Radharani. This is not ancient story, this is of late story. Naturally, when the steps were built to the temple of Radharani in Barsana, it has to be that time only, because he was cleaning those steps with great devotion in the heart, was chanting the name of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, and glorifying the Vrindavan Dham, which is so merciful, is bestows upon us the service to Radha and Krishna. And he was sweeping the steps of Radharani's palace, Bhanu Mahal, at Bhanugad, with the mood that any time from these steps, Radha and Krishna may come down. And there should not be any dirt there. No stone, no thorn, no pebble, nothing should be there. So he was serving by sweeping the steps of Radharani's temple in that mood. And he was singing and shedding tears from his eyes. It was so intense that the power of this calling of Radha Krishna's name was so intense that Radha and Krishna appeared on a tree branch above him. For example, this is a tree branch. He was sweeping down there. So they appeared over here. Sitting with like this, moving their legs like this, both of them. And Radharani is telling Krishna, "See this devotee. He is so wonderful. Look at his sentiment. How sincerely he is doing this seva." So she said, "We must award him something. Some gift should be given to him." So she said, "Krishna, that your jacket that you are wearing, so beautiful. Why don't you give it to him?" He says, no, how can I give it to him? My father Nanda Baba has given me this. And he gave me in the morning, and if I don't have it in the evening, he will chastise me. So I will not give this. He said, no, you must give him. He's so much devoted to you. Why are you attached to your jacket? You should award him. He said, no, my father will chastise me. I am very scared of my father. Finally, argument, and Radharani gets fed up with Krishna. She said, no, you don't want to give? Don't give. But I will give. My mother has given me this shawl, and I will give it to him. I don't mind whatever my mother says, but I will try to award this devotee. So she removes her shawl from this branch, and she drops that shawl on him. And he starts trembling, and he falls unconscious there now. Now there is one shastra called Radha Sudha Nidhi, which was written by Prabodhananda Saraswati. In this shastra it is explained that Krishna is so much enamored and captured and captivated by Radharani that he bows down, offers pranams to the direction of the air. The air comes and touches Radharani's upper cloth and gets reflected and comes in opposite direction. Hare Krishna, everybody's attention is to the curtain. Are you with me?
Hare Bol.
Yeah. But this is a very intricate point I want to explain to you. In Vrindavan, what happens is the breeze, all the demigods are doing some special seva to Radharani and Krishna. Everybody is doing some service to all the material world, right? The air, Vayu Dev is giving air to everybody, oxygen to everybody. And Varun Dev is supplying water reservoirs, and water is available to everybody in the form of ponds and oceans and rivers. And Indra Dev is pouring water and giving water to you from skies. And the sun is giving you light and heat. And they are doing their duties, and you know, as you are in the jail here, he's supposed to supply all these things through all these agents. But in Vrindavan Dham is not a jail like we are in. Vrindavan Dham is a transcendental abode. So there they don't serve as if they serve the inmates of the jail. They just, you know, sometimes you know what happens, our Guru Maharaj comes. And then we are serving every day. But when Guru Maharaj comes, we are like, gather all our devotion, all our sentiment, all our devotion, whatever we have, we gather everything and we try to do our best for it. You know, best of our ability is exhibited and best of us manifests in front of Guru. Right? When he comes, everything best emanates. So they also, when they go to Krishna's abode, they become their best, at their best of their ability, they serve Krishna. So what the Vayu does? Vayu is simply, three things Vayu has, capacity, qualities. One it is cool, one it is manda, is slowly flowing, and it is very pleasant touch it provides. Sheetal, manda, and very beautiful touch that it provides. So what the Vayu does, it is flowing over Jamuna, and in the waters of Jamuna, beautiful flowers like lotus and so many other flowers are blossoming. The description is there of Vrindavan, how the rivers or ponds are filled with divine fragrant flowers, and their pollens are also getting emanated from the flowers. And the breeze is slowly flowing and carries all the pollens which are fragrant and very beautiful. And it goes with the vapors of Jamuna, which are very cool, with the fragrance of the flowers of pollens, carry them, and they go and touch the bodies of Krishna, Radha and all the gopis and cowherd boys, and gives them ultimate experience of transcendental happiness. So they are at their best. And what does the Vayu do? The Vayu goes and touches the upper cloth of Radharani in one direction. Then the Vayu reflects because of the touch of the upper cloth of Radharani and comes in other direction. It is said that Krishna offers dandavat pranam to the direction of the air which is coming from touching the upper cloth of Radharani. Have you understood? He is not offering dandavat to the Vayu. He is offering dandavat to the direction in which the Vayu is coming after touching the upper cloth of Radharani. And that cloth itself was touching that sweeper. You can imagine what must have happened to him. I do not know, but we can imagine what is his fortune. And that was Radharani's boundless mercy. So anyone who is very sincere at heart, very simple at heart, with no duplicity, my heart is transparent and is sincere in his devotion, then one can attract Radharani's attention. And when her attention is attracted to you, you are sure to get Krishna's mercy. That is the personality of Radharani. At one time, Rupa Goswami was staying in Ter Kadamba. How many of you have gone to Ter Kadamba? Any of you have gone to Ter Kadamba? Ter Kadamba is a place where Krishna comes as a last point in his cow herding pastime. He goes in the morning with all the beautifully decorated cows. He is beautifully decorated by Mata Yashoda. And they go with the cows. When he was with the calves, baby cows, he was going close by only. But when he is given big cows, that time he goes far away. And then after far away distance, he got millions of cows. Not only of his friends' cows, they also have thousands and millions of cows. When evening comes, at that time he comes to this place called Ter Kadamba. What is the meaning of Ter Kadamba? Kadamba tree on which he calls the cows. Ter means calling. So the tree is called Ter Kadamba. He goes on the topmost branch of this tree, sits there, and he plays his flute. And his flute has variety of activities, variety of notes, variety of effects. And there are 8 notes on his flute. And variety of effects, of course, we will not describe them now. But one of the effects of the flute is that he will play that note and each and every cow will hear her name in that note. They will not say that this is Rag Malhar. They will only hear Nataraj. They will hear Radha Mohan like that. Dhavali and Tilakini. So many different names are there. So all these names will be heard in the ears of the cows through that note of flute. And all the cows with raised ears and tails will come running, looking upstairs with broadly open eyes, mesmerized by that sound of their name being called through that flute. And they'll come running under the tree. They'll all be gazing up, millions of cows. And all will be gathered there. And some of them will not purposely respond to Krishna's calling through the flute because they want attention. So then in the end, Krishna will get down the tree, go to them personally and fetch them by hand. And then they will all gather and then playing flute and dancing and singing songs, they will go back to Nanda Bhavan and all the cowherd boys will go home. This is the place called Ter Kadamba. At this particular place, Rupa Goswami was performing his bhajan. When his temple was being constructed in Vrindavan, he came, Man Singh, the minister of Akbar, agreed to build temple for Radha Govindji. At that time, Rupa Goswami entrusted the worship of the deities to his disciple and he went for another place. Another place was Rupa Goswami stayed at Ter Kadamba. And there he wrote Nectar of Devotion, Upadesha Amruta, Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, Padyavali, all those esoteric scriptures on the order of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he wrote down there in deep meditation in a secluded place, very beautiful place where Krishna would call his cows. So Sanatana Goswami was his elder brother and also as his guru. So that day was Sanatana Goswami's birthday. And Rupa Goswami is a mendicant, you know. Can you put on the fan, please, on number one? So Sanatana Goswami's birthday, both of them were mendicants and they were only begging something and eating something. Sometimes they would not beg also, they would be so absorbed in bhajan. That's okay. Thank you. So that day, it was the birthday of Sanatana Goswami. And he thought that my guru and my elder brother, I want to celebrate his birthday. So I should make some beautiful kheer for him. And he was thinking, I should go and bake some kheer, I mean some ingredients of rice and milk and some dry fruits and some sugar and some ingredients like that. And he was contemplating in the mind. And suddenly a thought came to mind, he said, oh, why am I thinking of kheer? I'm supposed to be a sadhu, no. I should not be getting into this situation like this. But his desire was there to glorify his brother by some offering. And he immediately said, no, it's not good for sadhu to drink like this. Let me do my worship only. Very soon, a young girl came with a huge basket on her head. And she came to Rupa Goswami and said, my mother has sent this for you. There is rice in this. There is freshly churned, milk from the cows. And there is dry fruits and there is sugar. And you may make kheer for this. So he said, no, I don't have time. I'm very busy. Why don't you cook yourself only? So then she put the basket down, put the fire, and herself cooked that kheer. And she cooked the kheer as if she offered it to Krishna in Naivedyam. And she went away. And she informed Rupa Goswami that the kheer is made, you can honor it anytime. As soon as the kheer was made, Sanatana Goswami entered there. And Rupa Goswami said, my dear Gurudev, my dear brother, I wish you a very happy birthday. Offer my dandavat pranam to you. And we have a very wonderful kheer for you, for your birthday. Please honor it. So Rupa Goswami offered that kheer to Sanatana Goswami. And when he honored it, he was trembling in ecstasy. His hair stood on end. Tears started flowing from his eyes uncontrollably. He didn't know what's happening to him. Everything was happening uncontrollably in his personality. And he was wondering, what happened? He said, Rupa, from where you got this kheer? He said, one young girl came from village and she brought these ingredients and I told her, I don't have time, you only cook. And she cooked that. So he said, where is that girl? He said, she's there in the kitchen. He said, no, she's not there in the kitchen, she's gone. Then he was asking, how does she look like? Then Rupa started describing how was she looking like. Sanatana exclaimed, oh Rupa, don't you understand? She was Radharani herself. Prishabhanu Nandini had come herself. And what she was telling about mother, she was Kirti Mata, who had given her those ingredients. You made her make the kheer yourself. I mean, you told her to make herself, to engage herself in our service. She started chastising Rupa Goswami. What kind of a devotee you are? You are supposed to worship Radha and Krishna and serve them. And here you are, you engage her in your service. What kind of a devotee you are? And while doing that, he is going on eating the kheer. At one level, he is trying to explain the principle of not getting service from Radha and Krishna. And other side, he was uncontrollably going on eating the kheer. Because the taste of that kheer was divine. First he asked, from where you got this rice? This is divine celestial taste. Then he got the answer from there. This is how Radharani is merciful. Those who are sincere devotees, Radharani is always eager to serve them. The other time, our Raghunath Das Goswami, you know how renounced he was. He was a great prince in his young age. Father and mother tried to make him so much worldly as possible. He got him married with angel-like woman. Nothing could bind him. Ran away one day. Became a sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him to Vrindavan. And he was worshipping at Radhakund. And in those days, and now also of course, the heat was so much that skin would burn actually. And Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami always would tell Raghunath Das Goswami that please make a kuti for yourself. And he was so renounced, he would take a handful of buttermilk once in 3 days. And he would curse himself while taking that handful of buttermilk once in 3 days. How a great sense gratifier he is. You know, can you imagine this? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that no one should imitate Raghunath Das Goswami. One will die if one imitates Raghunath Das Goswami. This is not possible. If one would imitate the humility of Sanatana Goswami, he will die. There are special moods of his special devotees that only they had, and no other devotee could imitate that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself proclaimed that. So this Raghunath Das Goswami, in his great renunciation and love for the Lord, was sitting in the banks of Radhakund and deeply lost in meditation. And his skin was burning with the heat. And that time one tiger came to drink water in Radhakund. And he was deeply immersed. And Sanatana Goswami was watching him. At that time, Krishna came with a stick and chased the tiger away. So Sanatana Goswami told Raghunath, what kind of a devotee you are? You're supposed to serve Krishna. And here you are so much lost in your meditation that Krishna has to come and save you. Please make your kuti, make your hut and sit inside and protect yourself. Still he would not listen. She continued. Another time, there was scorching heat and he was burning in the scorching heat. And he was so immersed. Radharani appeared next to him. And she removed her upper cloth and held it over him to protect him from sun. And Radharani was sweating and droplets of sweat from her forehead were dripping down the ground. And Sanatana Goswami was watching this. He chastised Raghunatha Goswami. What kind of a devotee you are? The very mistress of Krishna is serving you. How can you accept this service like this? Don't you know that she was standing next to you holding her upper cloth and drenching herself in the sweat? Herself, for you. At that time, Das Goswami constructed a kuti. That was the time he made his own kuti. And what you see in Radhakund now is the commemoration of that particular place where he built himself a small hut. So Radharani is like this, you know, she's so merciful. And there are so many stories, unlimited stories. You have heard a story of Ashwatthama? How many of you know Ashwatthama? Ashwatthama, Mahabharata Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama was the son of Dronacharya, right? And Dronacharya would teach him privately. Special sessions would be taken for him. He was a son. And Arjuna would reach there at that very time. And then he had to teach Arjuna also all those tricks, whatever martial arts, Dhanurvidya. So such was his position, and he was the incarnation of Lord Shiva himself. When I told you day before yesterday that Krishna appeared to Bhumi Devi, and at that time he instructed Lord Shiva to come down as Ashwatthama. So all of them were performing their service to Krishna in this pastime. So Ashwatthama, by the will of the Lord, whatever pastime purpose was, he sided with Duryodhana. Some of his father was maintained by him, paid salary for him and everything. So he became friends with him. And he fought from Duryodhana's side. And you know, Bhima single-handedly killed all the brothers of Duryodhana. Single-handedly. Everybody else was killed by everybody else, but the specific Kauravas were one-handedly, single-handedly killed by the Bhimsen. And it was still okay. But when Dushasana was killed, they were very disgusted. No? The way he was killed was very graphic description there in Bhagavatam, in Mahabharata, sorry. But how he broke open his chest, and how he took blood out of that, he danced around him, and he took the blood running to the tent of Draupadi, and he washed her hair with that blood. It's like total drafted description is there. And with those activity of Bhimadev, Bhimsen, everybody was disgusted. And Ashwatthama and Duryodhana were very angry. And then came the battle between Duryodhana and Bhimsen. And the battle of Duryodhana and Bhimsen, Duryodhana was unbeatable. Duryodhana could not be defeated. He had Vajra Kavacha from his mother. And nobody would hit under the belt in Gada Yuddha. So he was like invincible. Bhimsen was hitting with the power of 10,000 elephants. And nothing was happening to him. He was laughing and laughing and laughing. He said, hit me with more strength. Come on, hit me with more strength. And Bhima was hitting and hitting and hitting and nothing was happening to him. More than getting exhausted, Bhima was getting frustrated. What do I do now? And Krishna was telling, hit him under the belt. Bhimsen was saying, how can I hit him under the belt? It's not the law of fight. He said, okay, it's the law of fight of Mahabharata rules and regulation. Then go on fighting for eternal time. This will go on for eternal time. He will not be defeated. But finally, Bhimsen is a very wonderful personality. He is not very eager to follow rules and regulations. He is very eager to break them. Every time in Mahabharata, if you see the serial, he would always say, shall I lift him and throw him on the ground? Every time he would say that to his elder brother, Yudhishthir, shall I lift him and throw him on the ground right now? He is acting too much. Then his brother would say, let's cool down, manage it. Again, shall I lift him and drop him on the ground? Like that he would say. And he was not bothered about anything, all rules and regulations. He was ready, eager to break them. Like when Krishna told him that, you just go and tell right now, Ashwatthama is killed. Go and tell to Dronacharya. Bhima had no hesitation. Instantly he went. and told Dronacharya, your son Ashwatthama is killed. Dronacharya was his guru. Dronacharya said, I don't believe you. If Yudhishthira Maharaj says that, I will believe it. So then becomes a very difficult situation. So news came to Krishna that he is saying like this, because they all were like completely overpowered and overwhelmed by Dronacharya's unlimited military power. And there was no hope for Pandavas to win as long as Dronacharya was fighting. So Krishna said, you all guys keep fighting, now you are going to get destroyed as long as this man is alive. You have to get him killed. He said, who will kill him? Nobody can kill him. He said, yes, one secret is there. If his son, even if you tell him that son is killed, he will lose all his vigor. And he will get down and stop on top of the fight and sit down on the ground. He will become hatabal. Hatabal means he will lose all his powers from his limbs. And he will like, you know, hypertension. You know, when you get hypertension, you will faint. He will like faint on the ground. Just by the thought that his son is dead. So you have to go and tell him that his son is dead. Bhima, go immediately and kill an elephant called Ashwatthama. So Bhima went and killed Ashwatthama, the elephant. And very eagerly went and told. He didn't believe it. So they went to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Now he is going to come and ask you. Yudhishthira said, I am Satyavachani. I don't tell lies, you know. I can't tell lies. My whole life I have not told lies. So Krishna wanted to break that attachment of Dharmaraj, of being truthful. Because he wanted to tell the whole world that being a devotee of Krishna and for the purpose of Krishna, one should forego everything, even if you are famous as being truthful. He is subservient to the principle of serving Krishna. But Yudhishthira was also serving Krishna in this pastime by being so attached to his fame as being truthful. He said, no, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. So Krishna said, okay, what you say is that Ashwatthama is killed, but I do not know elephant or human being. That means your son or elephant. Ashwatthama hato narova kunjarova. I don't know whether it's kunjara, that is elephant, or nara, that is your son. At least that is acceptable to you. He said, okay, I can say that. So they, of course, Dronacharya came in front of him and asking him. So he said, Ashwatthama hato, Ashwatthama is killed. And when he said Narova Kunjarova, Krishna blew the conchel very loudly. So loudly that Dronacharya could not hear the second line. And the first line only fell down. Just dropped everything. He became so morose, so despondent, so much frustrated. And he sat down there only, on the ground, in the battlefield only, just meditating. And instantly, Dhrishtadyumna, the brother of Draupadi, jumped from the chariot. With a flash of eyelids, you know, flash of second, he just jumped, and before anybody came to know anything happened, he just chopped off his head. And Arjuna was so enraged. He jumped at Dhrishtadyumna to kill him. And Krishna stopped him. Our brother stopped him. Don't do that. This is war, you know. He was meant to do this. He was born from the fire sacrifice to do this. But you can imagine what must have happened to Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama was so angry that this is the way his father was killed. By his own disciples, so called his great disciples. They did this to his father. Was greatly enraged. And then later on, Duryodhana was killed also by Krishna's guidance that hit him under the belt. And when Bhimsen hit him under the belt with all his 10,000 elephants' power, it is explained that Duryodhana flew in the sky millions of miles. And from there he got smashed on the ground. And both his thighs were completely smashed into blood and flesh. And he was in tremendous agony. Because 10,000 elephants power Bhimsen had procured by eating that kheer from the snake god under the ground, under the water in childhood. Nonetheless, when Ashwatthama came to see Duryodhana in that agonizing condition, he couldn't bear it. He just couldn't bear seeing his friend, you know, such brutally hit and injured in an unprofessional, you know, illegal or unbona fide way. He was so angry. He said, I will now do something which is going to please you. So in the middle of the night he woke up and he took some people with him, and he put fire at one side of the tent. And he went and stood at the other side of the tent. So the tent would have a middle passage and entry here and entry here. So he put fire on that side and he went on that side. So everybody woke up in the middle of the night in darkness, out of fear that fire is coming. I started running from the opposite side and he chopped off everybody's head in the darkness. He wanted to actually destroy everybody in Pandava's army because they had won the war and they were very sleeping very peacefully with free of tension that day. That night, like cowards, they went and put fire and they chopped off everybody's head and they thought that we killed everybody, so Pandavas and everybody is killed. But fortunately, Pandavas were in some different tent and all the five sons of Pandavas were killed. Each one had one prominent son. They were sleeping together and they were chopped off by Ashwatthama. So then, when they woke up in the morning, they saw that five sons beheaded. Draupadi, Bhimsen, Arjuna, so enraged. They wanted to just go and kill Ashwatthama on the spot. So Krishna took a chariot. Arjuna rode on the chariot. Krishna became charioteer. They were running behind Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama was also running behind in the chariot. But he saw that his horses gave up. His horses started foaming at the mouth. So Ashwatthama got on chariot, started running. So Krishna also, to be fair enough, got on chariot. And both of them ran to Ashwatthama. And they caught Ashwatthama. And they dragged him by hair. And they brought him to the tent of Draupadi. Now Bhimsen said that, I will bring the head of Ashwatthama and you will stand on the head of Ashwatthama and take bath. This is Kshatriya. Something very different, they think. Always different. And they do other things in a different way. So then when Draupadi saw Ashwatthama being dragged by hair in the most helpless condition, and Arjuna said, here, Ashwatthama, Draupadi, you punish him the way you want because he has massacred five of your children. Draupadi, such a great exhibition of your devotional quality of forgiveness. She said, what I am suffering right now by losing my five dearmost sons, I do not want that pain to go to Ashwatthama's mother, Kripi. She is our Guru Mata. And I don't want her to suffer the same pain which I am suffering. Please release him. Bhima said, no, he has to be killed. He must be destroyed. But still, Draupadi said no. And Krishna said, I agree with you. I accept your sentiment and I appreciate your sentiment. So then Krishna said that Bhimsena Chagana vow that I will kill Ashwatthama. And Draupadi doesn't want to kill him. Now Arjuna, you have to somehow kill Ashwatthama and not kill him also. Do something which is fulfilling both of their desires. Krishna is a very intelligent person. He actually chopped off all the hair of Ashwatthama. He chopped off his mustache into half. And he totally made him disfigured. And he said, now you get lost. In the meantime, Krishna came and plucked his money, his jewel from the forehead. The jewel was of a great value. The jewel was awarded to him by a demigod. And it had great powers. That's why he was invincible actually. So Krishna chopped that jewel from his forehead. And Krishna, can you imagine? Krishna cursed him. I curse you that this wound will never get healed. It will always keep bleeding and it will have unlimited pain and you will not have any solace by any means in this world and you will not die also. See, the curse is so descriptive, so in detail. Can you imagine? That you will have the wound constantly bleeding, it will not get healed, it will have unlimited pain, and when you have unlimited pain of a non-healing ulcer or wound, would you like die immediately? Right? Or you will not die also? Now go from here. So he was insulted, he was made bereft of all his powers, that means he was worse than death. Kshatriya would say, kill me, rather than making me like this. But he was insulted to a highest extent. So in the one way he was killed and he was not killed also. So Ashwatthama wandered from place to place in the world, suffering agonizingly, tremendously, unlimitedly, unbelievably he suffered. Everywhere he went, but nobody could give him any medicine that could actually save him. He went to Lord Shiva. Shiva says, sorry. Our Lord has cursed you. Who are we to counteract the curse? Sorry, sir. You went to Brahma. Brahma said, I'm very sorry. But he was pleading like anything. Please help me. Please show me some way. Brahma told him, please go to Barsana and worship Radharani over there. So he went to one forest called Pipasa One. Pipasa One is about 5 or 6 kilometers from Barsana. It's a very deep forest of deep, you know, trees and deep, big one. And Radha and Krishna come there to satisfy their unlimited thirst of union. Thirst is called Trishna in Sanskrit. And one word is called Pipasa. Pipasa means unlimited, uncontrollable thirst. So that forest is called Pipasa One, where Radha and Krishna satisfy their uncontrollable thirst of union with each other. And they perform Ras Lila over there. And when Krishna gets thirsty, Radharani digs a well, digs a pond by her bangles and makes water from the earth and gives the water to Krishna. Satisfy his thirst, physical thirst. And when Radharani gets thirsty, Krishna by his flute makes a pond and gives water to Radharani. So there is Radhakund and Shyamkund in Pipasa One also. Two different ends. Very beautiful forest, very secluded forest, very private forest, very intimate and very esoteric forest. So Ashwatthama went there and performed tapasya, begging Radharani for her attention and for mercy. He was very repentful. At that time, Radharani appeared to him. Radharani blessed him that you will be now free from pain. And his wound got healed. And he got free from pain. And he said, you should stay in this forest and maintain this forest, protect this forest. Whoever worships me in this forest, also help them for their worship and live here only. So Pipasa One is the place where Ashwatthama was forgiven by Radharani. One who was cursed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that person only got forgiven by Radharani's mercy in her own area of Barsana, in Pipasa One. But today also, Ashwatthama stays in Barsana, in Pipasa One. And those who are pure-hearted souls who perform bhajan over there, they get darshan of Ashwatthama. And it is explained that in that forest, one speciality is there, that nobody can pluck any trees and take wood from there to their house. Only for the purpose of serving Krishna, one can take wood from there. If they take wood from any other purpose for their life, then either they will get blinded, they get paralyzed, or they die. That's why when people cut the trees there for some spiritual activity, for cooking some prasadam for Krishna, what they do is, whatever cooked wood is used and whatever wood remains, they come and drop that wood back in the forest. So when you go to the forest, you will find many stacks of wood, branches of trees, many, many stacks, surrounded the whole forest. Everywhere you see some nice sticks of the tree are arranged nicely and kept there. So anybody who would visit them will ask, what is this? So they explain them. This is the wood which is remaining from the serving Krishna, and the people, villagers are getting it back. They would not use one wood stick extra from the tree after they finish their service. It's a very beautiful place. Ashwatthama is now staying there because Ashwatthama was cursed that he will not die. So he is still there. Till the creation is existing, he will remain there. And now he is a great devotee of the Lord, a pure devotee of the Radharani. And he is doing his bhajan over there. And whoever goes there, he blesses them and protects their devotion and protects the forest also. So this is the unusual, unbelievable mercy of Radharani. So time is getting up. So I would like to request you that Radharani is our only hope. We have no hope that by our power of our devotion, we can attract the attention of Krishna. We have no hope in our own capability. Because it is explained that the iota of devotion that we think we have comes from Radharani only. Every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna, by nature a devotee of Krishna. But that devotion that every living entity by nature has, the source is Radharani. And if the devotion has to grow, vikas, if it has to get developed, that power of developing that also comes from Radharani. The desire to perform, follow rules and regulations also comes from her. So everything that has to do with devotion to Krishna, everything that you need to have, all attributes, come from her alone. She is the emblem, the very emblem of devotional service. It is love is, suppose, explained as ocean of milk, for example. Unlimited ocean of milk. Then Radharani is the churned butter of that ocean. The essence of that ocean comes in the form of butter after churning. And that butter is Radharani. Prema Navaneet. She is the love personified. Very love personified for Krishna. So we have to beg to her. Kada karishyasi hamam kripa kataksha bhajanam. Om Radharani, O merciful one, when will you cast your merciful glance, sidelong glance upon me? When will that day come when you will bestow your merciful glance upon me? But when that glance will fall upon me, that will save me from this dreadful, most treacherous material existence. So devotees pray. It is Lord Shiva who has, in Amnaya Tantra, he has composed a beautiful song called Radha Krupa Kataksha. Munindra Vanda Vandite Triloka Shoka Harini Prasanna Vaktra Pankaje Nikunja Bhuvilasini Kada Karishyasi Hamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. O one who is worshipped by all the greatest of munis, O one who destroys the shoka, the pains of all three lokas, Triloka Shoka Harini, Prasanna Vaktra Pankaje, that means, O one whose face is always bedecked with beautiful smile and happiness, Nikunja Bhuvilasini, O one who always takes rest on the divine land of Brajbhumi, the private chambers of forest of Radharani, Nikunja. Nikunja means it's private, it's closed. Only entry from one side with the guard and that. Radharani and gopis will go and meet Krishna there. So Nikunja Bhu, the land of Nikunja Vilasini, one who relishes resting upon the beautiful land of Nikunjas. Oh one, for that personality, when you will be merciful upon me? You know something? Shivaji, Lord Shiva, composed this beautiful song. Presented it to his wife as a gift. What a gift one can give to his wife. It's a beautiful gift. And it is by Shiva's mercy, Parvati Devi attained the mercy of Krishna, and then Krishna gave her Radha Mantra, and Radharani was pleased, and that's how Radharani blessed Shiva and Parvati to eternally reside in Brajbhumi. No other demigods can stay in Vrindavan Dham. They have to come and go. Lord Ganesha has been blessed in Kamevan, Shiva Parvati in whole of Braj. They can stay anywhere. They have got permanent living license over there. Only by the mercy of Radharani. Otherwise no demigods can enter Vrindavan Dham. They can't even come with footwear also. They have to come barefoot. If Krishna calls them, they have to come to their business and get out. No night stay. No room booked there for them. So Shiva Parvati has been blessed by Radharani for the permanent residence of Brajbhumi. And Lord Shiva actually composed that song for the pleasure of his wife. And on the instruction of Krishna and by mercy of her husband Shiva, Parvati Devi performed Trimasika Vrata. That is explained in Brahma Vaivarta Purana. So details are there of Braj Vrata. At the end of that Vrata, she was supposed to offer lotus flowers of 1,000 petals called Saugandhika flower. And there was numbers every day that she had to. So she had Shiva's ganas and all these Shiva, you know, he has got a lot of variety of people under him. The whole lake was guarded by them, and Parvati Devi grew those lotus flowers called Saugandhika of 1,000 petals each, and a fixed number every day she would offer to Radharani and Krishna. The Trimasik Vrata was meant to only please Radharani. Now for 3 months of that meticulous, detailed vrata, she pleased Radharani. And Radharani appeared with Krishna and blessed the divine couple to stay in Vrindavan permanently. Shiva is residing as Gopeshwar Mahadev, Chakreshwar Mahadev, Kameshwar Mahadev, and what else? Bhuteshwar Mahadev, Vipleshwar Mahadev, Nandishwar Mahadev, so many, Vrajeshwar Mahadev, which Vishbhanu Maharaj worshipped to get Radharani as a daughter. So many beautiful forms for serving the devotees of Radha and Krishna. And Parvati Devi also resided of, there are so many devis, Nandi Bandi Devi, there is Sanket Devi, and there are so many devis that in the form of that, she assists Radha and Krishna in their pastimes. Also, Parvati Devi appeared as Purnamasi Devi, as the elderly gopi, as guru of all the gopis, to serve in the pastimes physically. Subhadra Devi is also internal potency. She is the expansion of Radharani, but not Purnamasi. Prabhupada explains that Subhadra Devi is the internal potency of Krishna. That's all he explained. I don't explain in details. Purnamasi Devi is Parvati, who comes in variety of forms. Even Katyayani Devi is also Katyayani Devi. It's Parvati Devi. So in variety of, it's not just entrance, you know, on the stay there and watch. She was allowed by Radharani's mercy to participate into variety of pastimes in different forms. Physically and subtly and as a demigoddess and as so many things she did. So let us all pray to Radharani, bestow her mercy upon us. Everybody can say after me, Kada Karishyasi Hamam.
Kada Karishyasi Hamam.
Kada Karishyasi Hamam.
Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam.
Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam.
Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam.
O Radharani.
O Radharani.
When will you?
When will you?
Cast your merciful sidelong glances.
Merciful sidelong glances.
Upon me.
Upon me.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes. What is the word? The link is the essence of love and mercy of Radharani was brought and broadcasted by Gauranga Mahaprabhu to each and everyone. What was supposed to be most confidential, most unavailable thing, that was made into Hare Krishna Mahamantra, encapsulated in Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and was distributed to everybody. This particular sentiment of Radha Bhav was a private matter. But Krishna was so enamored by relishing that Bhav that he wanted to bestow that blessing upon each and every living entity. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what was most confidential, he brought that in the form of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He encapsulated love and mercy of Radharani in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and came down to distribute that himself. He didn't send any demigod or incarnation. So I will myself go and distribute this to each and everybody. And I will not go as God, I will go as Radharani's servant. My own servant, Radharani's servant. Very unique way. So you can imagine how much important this Hare Krishna Mahamantra must be. That has made Krishna to come down himself in a very unique incarnation, in Channa Avatar, and distribute to that each and everybody. Dina hina yata chilo, Haridama uddharilo. He didn't say that you are sinful, you are rascal, you are demon, you are this, you are that. To everybody, he distributed by begging them to receive it. So that Radharani's bhav, which is so esoteric, so divine, so ecstatic, and so we can go on saying what it is like. That which is most unavailable to a person in this world was made available to each and everybody, even to all the most sinful people in the world. That is the connection between this and the Gauranga Mahaprabhu.
So through this process?
Through the process of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the highest bhav can be realized by a fallen most devotee, a person in the world.
Okay. And for those who are servants of trying to spread that mission,
huh?
I'm pleasing your deity,
what is that?
So those who are spreading that mission,
so Mahaprabhu Chaitanya said, if those of you who will spread this Mahamantra to others, I will speak through their tongues and I will deliver them myself personally. And I will empower their tongues to speak what I want to speak through them. So they are called as, by gopis they are called as Bhurida Janaha. Tava kathamrutam tapta jivanam kavi bhiriditam kalma shapaham Savana Mangalam Srimadatatam Bhuri Vunante Te Bhurida Janaha. Those are the most merciful people who distribute this love of Krishna to others. That's how they describe. So, by the power of this statement that Radharani and Gopis have made, from the point of view of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, those are the most wonderful, generous people on whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestows their maximum mercy. So, those who preach this Mahamantra to others, they are surely to be delivered.
Yeah.
Lotus feet of Golok, Krishna and Golok Vrindavan.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
jai.
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much. That was very well nice. When you were saying that the person takes birth as a gopi, and that you can enter into Krishna's pastimes.
What I said, actually?
You were saying that there are different personalities, some are attracted to Matsya, some to Long,
uh-huh.
Some are and they took birth as gopis.
Yes, yes.
So, if you go to the planet where Krishna's performing,
when his question is that, if I am understood rightly, his question is that those people who take birth on the planet of Krishna, do they take birth as gopi only or anything else? Is that question?
Yeah, or whatever, if they take birth as cowherd boys or as parents, is that for their eternal constitutional position?
Yes. Any of us, if we perfect our devotional service, then we will take birth on the planet where Krishna is performing pastimes that time in our own constitutional position. It's not that everybody becomes gopi. Whatever our original sthayi bhav is, that in that bhav only we appear there for internship. Internship is what? In-house training. Once you get delivered into pure devotional service and you die, then before going to Golok Vrindavan, we take birth in a place where Krishna is performing pastimes. On the earthly planet, wherever in material world, wherever Brahmandas are, there are many universes. So whichever universe that time Krishna is performing pastime, there we appear in our original bhav. That means either we become blade of grass, or become a cow, or a peacock, or a friend of Krishna, or Vatsalya, or maybe gopi. And there we are trained under those gopis or those devotees who are masters in that bhav. There may be some peacocks who are already nitya peacocks, you know, like they are all eternally peacocks of Krishna. They don't fall down in the material world. There may be some cows who are eternally cows of Krishna. They don't become cows in the material world. Or they may be, there is Mother Yashoda is there. There is Radharani, Lalita Vishakha are there. They are eternal Nitya Siddha devotees of Krishna. They always are with Krishna. So under their auspices, we are guided to become perfect in that bhav. Right now we are apprentice, as we just got delivered. Then the apprentice position, we are trained into perfection of that bhav. And become perfect in that bhav, then we can enter into Golok Vrindavan. To serve in the same bhav ahead of us. Hare Krishna. Yes, Madhavi.
You mentioned about Ekadashi Vrata, Radharani, and what are the other things?
Ekadashi Vrata only she explained.
You yes. Said there are few things.
That I told about dust, no? That the dust of her lotus feet, then they were taken by gopis and they put on the head of Krishna and Krishna becomes henpecked. Radharani's dust. You want to take Radharani's dust, go to Barsana. You can roll in the dust over there. Or you go to the mountain and there is a place where there are baby footprints of Radharani under Brahma's temple, near Brahma's temple. You can go and take the dust there also. How is this?
Aspatthama getting the mercy of Radharani, which scripture is it?
It is given in Braj Bhakti Vilas by Narayana Bhatta Goswami. Narayana Bhatta Goswami was incarnation of Narada Muni, and he appeared at the time when the Goswamis were there in the world. And he is the one who stayed in Unchagaon, and he is the one who revealed Radha's deity, which is now in Barsana. He is the one who revealed Radharani. He also revealed Lalita Devi in Unchagaon also. So he is the incarnation of Narada Muni. And he has written the scripture called Braj Bhakti Vilas.
And he did the Brajamana Paikrama.
Yes, yes. His life is very inspiring life. And his samadhi is there in Unchagaon. He also revealed Triveni Kupa. He also revealed Prayagraj in Unchagaon. One time the Brajvasis wanted to take bath in Prayag, and they didn't want to go out of Braj. So for the pleasure of the devotees of Braj, he revealed Ganga Jamuna Saraswati in Unchagaon, flowing and coming together, and then they all disappeared in one well. That well is called a Triveni Kupa. On the day of Somavati Amavasya, when the dark moon night falls on Monday, the well overfloods and all devotees come and take bath there, and they get the benefit of taking bath in Prayag along with love of Godhead. So he is that personality, Narayana Bhatta Goswami. He had Radha and Krishna both in his hands at that time. Okay. Yes, Prabhuji.
Last one. Prabhuji, this, I didn't ask the question the other day. You mentioned the Anasuya story.
Anasuya,
from,
yes.
Yeah, I heard that from my childhood. I don't know where that came from. Which scripture was it mentioned in?
This story?
Yeah, which scripture was it mentioned in? Where she curses Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh.
This is in one of the Puranas. I don't exactly remember now. But I can find out and tell you. This is definitely there in Purana. This is a bona fide story. And Anasuya's supremacy in chastity was proved in this story. And that's how to commemorate the chastity of Anasuya. All Trinity decided to take birth in her womb. And Dattatreya was born like that. I'll find out.
Got a few more questions, but I'll ask later.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we perform kirtan now for a few minutes. Thank you very much, everybody.